Echo and Harper Audio present Bootstrapped, Liberating Ourselves from the American Dream by Alyssa Court. Read by Beth Hicks. A note before we begin. For the author's acknowledgments and notes on the text, don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider or go directly to harpercollins.com/pages/bootstrapped. Preface. Forget self-reliance. Obsessed, bewildered, by the shipwreck of the singular, we have chosen the meaning of being numerous. George Oppen. I receive messages on a routine basis from strangers about how the poor are responsible for their own poverty. Those who are economically on the edge, they write, just need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. The complaints come in the form of emails and comments regarding the supposed bad choices of the financially unstable. These emailers find fault with the under-resourced for ostensibly choosing to be single mothers, or not saving themselves for marriages to good providers, or for being evicted for being illegal immigrants, or even for trying to continue to work as journalists. They wag their fingers at the indigent for having college or graduate school debt and for not getting adequate job retraining, not seeing this as a paradox. Others lecture the economically unstable for putatively wallowing in their condition. It was not happenstance that I was the recipient. I was getting this stream of invective from news consumers because I run a journalism nonprofit called the Economic Hardship Reporting Project, which is devoted to covering income inequality and poverty, and I have also spent much of the last 8 years reporting on these matters. Some of my organization's writers have experienced homelessness or eviction, or they've had to watch family pets die because they couldn't afford vet bills. Some of my sources have experienced similar setbacks. And as a result of editing, writing, and publishing these stories, I have learned more about this toxic ideology. It's classist, sure, but it's also a prime example of how our country's most unprotected, its poorest citizens, are routinely and publicly shamed, a kind of nationwide bullying. The letter writers and commenters were not just apt to critique others for a presumed shortage of self-discipline. These armchair critics also did the inverse, glorifying their own supposedly independent lives in notes and posts and on call-in radio shows. One informed me that he had thrived even though his own parents had only GEDs. Another's mom was only a teenager when they were born, but they now earned six figures. The letters and comments often concluded with a celebration of how my correspondent had lived without government or other assistance, or supported a child or children through their household earnings alone, including the incomes of their very heterosexual husbands, if they were women. They also loved to note that they themselves had managed to save some money, had a car, a TV, and food. As one writes to me, "I wish younger people would stop trying to blame others for their problems and look within. We are all products of our choices, and unfortunately, sometimes we just have to live with the consequences." Another remarks, "You are responsible for everything you do in life. You are talking about giving people an income, talking about free health care. Your health is your responsibility. I drive a 2011 pickup truck because I do not need to buy a new one." Or, "In your view, it seems to be okay to live beyond one's means without regard to the financial consequences, because the government, or someone, should pick up the slack." In my childhood, we called these sorts of sneering voices the peanut gallery. Back then, I thought that meant you literally threw empty shells at people on stage from a distance. And it still seems appropriate, because they are the crowds who refuse to take others' expression of their economic straits seriously and throw detritus at anyone who dares to be open about their financial...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?